Okay, so this week you've all sent in a really fascinating collection of stuff, and it all seems to kind of circle around this question of how our minds and, you know, our overall well-being are like interacting with this world of AI that's just constantly expanding.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it seems like a very timely discussion.
Yeah.
We have articles from Nexus, Fast Company, CNN, Pew Research Center, AEI, Neuroscience News, Barron's, ManagementIssues.com, and Inc.
Wow.
So quite a lot to unpack.
Yeah, a lot of different perspectives in there.
Yeah, and I think our goal is really to help you kind of sift through all of this information.
Right.
To pull out the most valuable insights and, you know, not just understand, but really navigate this whole new era and thrive in it, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the things that struck me when I was going through this material is that, you know, we often talk about AI in terms of its potential benefits or its, you know, potential threats.
Right. Okay.
But this collection really gets at something deeper, which is like, how is AI actually changing us as individuals, you know, as a society?
Yeah. Yeah. And a really good point that that Nexus editorial made is, you know, as AI becomes more and more a part of our daily lives, are we unintentionally like weakening our own ability to think critically?
That's the core question, isn't it? I mean, that's what we're really grappling with here.
Yeah.
And it's not just theoretical anymore. I mean, we're seeing some early indications that this could be happening.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's a study that was mentioned both in Nexus and Fast Company.
Okay.
Highlighting that generative AI, you know, the kind that can like, you know, create new content like text and images based on what you ask it.
Oh, yeah.
That if it's not used properly, it can actually hinder our critical thinking skills.
Interesting.
So it's not just about having AI, but it's how we use it that really matters.
Exactly. It's the nature of our interaction with
it.
And that really ties into some of the fears that were expressed by those tech industry experts in that Elon University survey that was covered in CNN and Fast Company. And they were very specific in their concerns, right?
Yeah. They weren't just speaking generally. They were really pinpointing specific human capabilities that they worry could decline within the next decade.
Like what?
Things like our capacity for, you know, deep thought.
Mm-hmm.
Empathy, our moral judgment.
Wow. So it's not just about like getting lazy.
No, no. It's about really fundamental human traits.
Wow.
And then they also talked about societal effects as well. Things like increased polarization. You know, if we're all kind of living in our own filter bubbles curated by AI.
Right.
It could really exacerbate those divisions that we're already seeing.
Yeah. So it's the concern that we might kind of become more passive.
Right. Right. Less able to engage in like, you know, nuanced critical thinking and debate.
Yeah, less agency, really.
Exactly.
And less creativity, perhaps.
Yeah, because if we're constantly relying on AI to generate ideas or solve problems for us, you know, where does that leave our own creative spark?
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. And they did acknowledge that there's potential for positive changes.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, in a way, we learn and solve problems.
Right. AI can be an incredible tool for education and research.
Right.
But I think the underlying fear is that without some proactive measures, those negative consequences for these really fundamental human traits could outweigh those benefits.
Yeah, and it's interesting because that kind of sets up this contrast with the optimism that we see from the AI experts in that Pew Research Center report.
Yes, exactly. There's this fascinating, they call an enthusiasm gap.
Enthusiasm gap.
Okay. Yeah, between like the experts and the general public.
I mean, I guess that's not too surprising though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, with any new technology, there's always going to be some skepticism from the public.
Yeah, but I think what makes this different is the potential scale and speed of AI's integration into like every aspect of our lives. So it's not just like one new gadget.
Mm-hmm.
It's potentially transforming everything.
Right.
And so while the experts are seeing these like, you know, transformative possibilities, I think there is a shared concern that bridges this gap with the public.
And what's that?
The need for regulation.
Okay.
And a desire for individuals to maintain control over how AI is used.
Right. So there's common ground there.
Yeah, there is.
Of like, yeah, we need to be careful about this.
We need to be thoughtful. We need to be intentional.
We need to feel like we're still in control.
Exactly.
And another important point that the Pew Research highlighted is that there are differences even within the expert community itself. And gender actually played a role in how AI was perceived.
Right.
And there was also this widespread concern about potential bias being baked into AI systems.
Yes, because AI isn't neutral. It's created by humans.
Mm, yeah.
And so it can inherit those biases.
And the biases are unconscious sometimes.
Exactly. And so, you know, really addressing those biases, making sure that there's diverse representation in the development process is absolutely crucial.
So, I mean, thinking about all these different viewpoints, the optimism, the anxieties, the calls for regulation, it really begs the question.
Yeah.
Like, what does responsible engagement with AI look like for you, the listener?
Right.
In your daily life, like, how do you find that balance between leveraging its power and safeguarding your own, you know, cognitive abilities?
Yeah, that's the challenge for all of us.
Okay, let's shift gears a little bit and talk about our body quotient,
okay,
or BQ.
So we're moving from how we think to our physical health.
Yeah.
I love how AEI put it. You know, longevity is having a moment right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's really captured the public imagination.
It has.
And there are some good reasons for that. You know, there's this increasing understanding of the biological processes of aging and, you know, the crucial role of our metabolic health.
Okay.
And how long and how well we live.
So there's like two approaches here, right? There's like the really cutting edge scientific research that's aiming to like actually extend the limits of the human lifespan.
Right. Push those boundaries.
And then there's the more like immediate focus on preventing those age related illnesses through things like lifestyle changes and early interventions.
Exactly. And AEI brought up a really important point,
which is this tension between acting on promising early research, which is often driven by, you know, these consumer-facing longevity companies, and waiting for that definitive evidence from like large-scale clinical trials.
Right.
You know, because there's always the concern about false positives or even unnecessary interventions.
Right, right.
If we don't have that, like, you know, really robust peer-reviewed data.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
But the good news is that even while that research is ongoing, there are things we can do right now.
Oh, like what?
You know, lifestyle modifications.
Like diet and exercise.
Exactly. Those have a huge impact.
Right.
And then there's also the growing excitement around GLP-1 medicines.
Okay.
You know, those are typically used to manage blood sugar.
Mm-hmm.
But they're showing promise for overall metabolic health and potentially extending our healthy years.
That's encouraging.
It is.
And, you know, speaking of like connections back to intelligence,
yeah,
there was this really fascinating study that Neuroscience News reported on, a 25-year study.
And it found that a child's cognitive ability has like a profound impact on their intelligence in older age.
Yeah. Almost half of the variation in intelligence later in life could be traced back to cognitive abilities in childhood.
So like nature versus nurture.
It's really both, it seems.
Yeah. And it really highlights the importance of investing in cognitive development early in life.
Absolutely.
But then there's also this other angle that Barron's highlighted, which is the power of our mindset.
Oh, yeah.
And they talked about this study out of UCSD and the University of Rome, La Sapienza.
Mm-hmm.
And it suggested that a spry and determined mindset could actually be a really important factor in reaching 100.
Isn't that interesting? It's like this idea that attitude and resilience can actually contribute to longevity.
I had this great quote in there.
What was it?
It was, there is always a solution in life. This is what my father had taught me. To always face difficulties and hope for the best.
I love that.
Right. So it's like our attitude towards life is as important as our diet and exercise.
It's a really powerful idea.
It is.
So it's not just about what we do. Mm. It's about how we approach those challenges.
It really is. And I think that's a good takeaway for our listeners to think about.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to the third element here.
Okay.
Emotional quotient.
Okay. EQ.
EQ.
Or as Nexus calls it, spiritual intelligence.
Yeah.
This is where we get into like, you know, our uniquely human ability to understand and manage emotions, both our own and those of others.
And that Fast Company article made a very strong case for why EQ is becoming absolutely essential for leaders in the age of AI.
Right, because AI can do all these amazing things, you know, process data, automate tasks, but it can't replicate empathy or motivation or that ability to build those genuine human connections.
So the leaders that are going to thrive in the future are the ones who can like integrate those capabilities of AI with real human interaction and leadership.
Yeah, it's not about replacing those human qualities. It's about using AI to augment them.
And there was some really interesting research from Elion Business School discussed on managementissues.com.
Oh, yeah.
That found a link between low EQ and manipulative behaviors in managers.
It's quite revealing, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And I thought it was particularly interesting that they didn't find a connection between EQ and things like psychopathy or narcissism. It suggests that manipulation might be more about like a lack of genuine leadership skills.
Right.
Than those kind of like darker personality traits.
Exactly.
And it suggests that leaders with high EQ are better able to build trust and inspire their teams.
Because they can understand and empathize with their team members.
Exactly. And that makes those manipulative tactics less necessary.
Right. And so this is why the study recommends that organizations prioritize EQ training to foster that more ethical and effective leadership.
And to create healthier workplaces.
Oh, absolutely.
And then on a more personal level.
Yeah.
There's this really cool concept from Inc. called joy conditioning.
Oh, I love this one.
Yeah. So it's basically this idea that actively seeking out and savoring moments of genuine joy can actually boost our emotional intelligence.
And build resilience against anxiety.
So it's not just about like feeling good in the moment.
No, it's a deliberate practice to cultivate those positive emotions.
So it's like a proactive approach to our emotional well-being.
Exactly.
So thinking about your own professional life.
Yeah.
How are you focusing on developing your own EQ? And what are some moments of joy that you can cultivate today to build that resilience?
Yeah, it's a great question for all of us to reflect on.
It really is.
I think what's so striking about this whole collection of material is that it really highlights the interconnectedness of all these things.
Yeah.
You know, the relationship between AI and our cognitive abilities.
Right.
The pursuit of a longer, healthier life. And the importance of emotional intelligence.
These are not separate topics.
No, they're all intertwined.
It's all about thriving in this rapidly changing world.
And as Nexus put it, it's not just about surviving.
Right.
It's about thriving.
Absolutely.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with this thought.
Okay.
As AI continues to advance and shape our world, perhaps the most essential skills to cultivate aren't the ones that can be automated, but rather those qualities that make us uniquely human.
Like what?
Our capacity for critical thought, our resilience, our ability to connect with each other on a deep emotional level.
Yeah.
So I would ask you, as you continue on your own journey of learning and self-discovery, what will you focus on cultivating?
That's a great question for everyone to consider.
It is.
And that is it for this week's deep dive.
Until next time.
Bye. Bye.